Greetings, this is James Gillen, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, where the women are strong and the men are good-looking and the children, well, most of them have been abducted. Anyway, we've got a great show tonight because we've got lots of things to talk about. I've always wanted to play that Deliverance music because it's it's not too far away from what happens around here in the mountains sometimes. But anyway, it's quite an interesting times that we're going into. We've had some pretty amazing things up here that I wanted to talk about. And there's things happening basically around the world right now that we need to really cover. One of the things I first want to do is just get down to business is that we are having the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. We've got just amazing speakers, some of which are William Henry, Michal Ledwith, Dr. Brooks Agnew, myself, Dr. Meg Ryan. We have Laura Lysak coming on, just a host of other speakers, and it's just going to be an awesome show. And wherever, you really can't go anywhere else and have the same experience, because where else can you go to a vortex and film all the orbs and light spheres you want, along with experience UFOs, and every once in a while there's some spontaneous healings that happen here at this magical place. So anyway, if you want to go to eceti.org, it's eceti.org, and check it out. You can see the lineup, and we still have some space available. It's selling out fast, so. But getting back to the ranch, we've just had a phenomenal 2 or 3 weeks here. We've had, we've actually gotten on film and taken the photographs of some black helicopters. One was a Huey chasing a UFO, and we got both the Huey and the UFO. And what's interesting is the Huey, because it's a 12-megapixel camera, it actually froze the blades of the helicopter. And the UFO, it didn't freeze. It's still moving very fast, and it still is a little blurry just because of the speed. Now, if this was a bird or a bug or some other thing that they're talking about, they have these different effects, they call them, that with videos. This was taken on a video, and it was video camera, and it was also taken with a 12-megapixel camera. So it shows clearly that this object was moving very fast, and it was zipping all around the black helicopter. We also have a beautiful light ship. It actually made the front page on Coast to Coast, and it's still on there right now under light ship. So you can go and check it out there, or again, you can go to eSETI to the UFO section and click on all the latest photos are on the eSETI site with the big Huey chasing the UFO and the light ships and the other disks. Shaped ships hovering over this one double tree area. And we actually got this amazing red disc in the sky. It's just a beautiful picture. And I asked earlier who this group was, because it's a whole different group. I haven't seen them before. And this beautiful bright red ship that came in, I was told was Andromedan. And which really makes my heart sing, because I love the Andromedans. They're mythologically known as archangels, and they're just very beautiful beings that have magnetized light bodies, and they can actually manifest a physical body, just as some of the masters can re-manifest their physical bodies here on Earth. But they're amazing beings, and I'm very honored with their presence and glad to know that they're coming in and taking an interest in the ranch here. We've had a lot of contact with Palladians and the Orion Council of Light, and we've had a lot of Sirian ships and Arcturian ships, and these massive giant triangles flying up high, but now they're coming right in low and giving us some wonderful photos to put up on our site. Some of the other things that are going on around the planet here, we have our little Martian soil sampler up there on Mars, and I'm really glad they found a spot to land this little object where it didn't interfere with the bases that we have there and all the other artifacts on the planet. And it's getting harder and harder to find a desolate place there with nothing on it to dig up these little soil samples to keep us, you know, under the belief system that there's nothing there and there's never been anything there, which is something most of us know that is not the truth. But anyway, they've got this little thing down there digging little holes and looking for ice. another multi-billion-dollar project. No ice at the North Pole this summer, a major headline. They're saying by the end of 2008, there just may be no ice at the North Pole. Before these, say, 2050, you know, it was going to be going away. And then they said 2030, and now they're saying, well, you know, it might go away at the end of 2008. And so, you know, this is a PhD from the National Snow and Ice Data Center. So there's definitely a little melting going on at the poles, despite, you know, what a lot of people are trying to get you to believe, that there's really nothing going on there. There's been incredible sightings lately. Just recently we've had a lot of military sightings in the UK, and some of these people are coming forward and talking about multiple ships that look like cubes, and they're tumbling in the sky. And that, you know, they're saying they're definitely not from this planet. They have no idea what they are. We just had a report of a helicopter chase going on that was kind of interesting. And I guess police helicopter crew said they had a near collision with a UFO, and they had to do evasive maneuvers and then chased it for a ways after it was a very near miss. So my question is, what were they up to, and why was the UFO checking them out? But anyway, this is all going on. It's getting more and more interesting right now. There's a wonderful new crop circle coming up that is showing, you know, the ratio of pi, and there's quite a few other crop circles now that are coming out that are just so intricate and so beautiful, and they're laid down instantly, and I think Doug and Dave are pretty much out of a job, because one of them's dead, and I don't think they're running around, you know, all over the globe here making crop circles like they'd like us to believe. So again, those crop circles are just amazing. The drones are still being found everywhere. They seem to be sighting. I used to live in Capitola Beach, very near there in Santa Cruz, California. And what's interesting is this drone was hovering all around that area, and they got quite a few photographs of these weird drones. My feeling is that these drones are ours. They're something that we created, and it's part of the back engineering technology, and who knows what they have on them or why they're there. They're some kind of PSYOP program. But anyway, they seem to be seen in quite a few different places and turning up everywhere. You know, I'm hearing these articles now saying the you know, physicists are baffled because the sun is totally calm and absolutely nothing is going on in the sun. You know, with the sun right now, and we're going to be in a cooling off period. Well, unfortunately, you know, they also know about solar cycle 24, which is claiming exactly the opposite. And I don't know about you, but today we had 104 degree weather in the valley here, and up on the hill it was, you know, 100 degrees in the shade. So the sun was just going right through you if you're out in it, and it's more intense than I've ever seen it before. So I really don't think the sun is backing off. You know, if there are no sunspots, it's definitely expanding, and it's pumping out some incredible energy right now. So keep those water hoses going and those air conditioners on as long as you've got the grid, because according to the scientists, this grid may not be there, you know, around 2010, according to the next solar cycle and what the sun is up to. There's a lot of other interesting stories here. We do have the pictures up on the site. Again, go to eSETI.org and go to the UFO photo section. The first 7 photos, I believe, up there are the latest photos that we've taken at the ranch that show undeniably that UFOs are here, and they're coming on a regular basis. And I don't know if you listened to the last few radio shows, but we brought the witnesses on, and we broadcasted live from the field, and we had some pilots from Australia, Pierre and Nigel, who are really getting some flack about what they saw and filmed while they were here. So kudos to them, because they are coming forward, and these are you might say, aware, very enlightened men here that have incredible credentials. They're both have, I don't know how many hours of airtime. They're both pilots, and one actually trains other pilots. And they they saw the ships here and they saw the maneuvers they were doing, and they said there's no way anybody could sustain a maneuver like that in a conventional craft. He said, let alone that if they didn't black out, it would probably kill them. So they said, we know what we're looking at. We know how fast most conventional craft fly, and these things were going several thousand miles an hour and making turns, and anybody would black out, having an experience like that. And they these are trained observers. I mean, these are professional pilots that are witnessing this. And we had quite a few other people, out in the field to witness this, and we brought them on. One gentleman on was amazing because he was actually assigned to a military base, and it was a nuclear facility. And he was trained to guard the silos there, and he said that, it was not uncommon for these UFOs to come and fly over the facility and just sit there. And they were told by their superiors not to do anything, just forget about it, ignore it, and that they aren't a threat. And I thought that was quite interesting, but, he said, really feels okay to talk about it now. He really doesn't want to come public with his full name and who he is, and I can't rightly blame him, but he said he has great admiration for, Bob Dean and Wendell Stevens and some of these other people in the Air Force and within the military system that have come forward and talked about this. Another Dr. Sala, who talked about them shutting down the missiles and even playing around with the Russian sites as well. So anyway, this gentleman and his friends were out in the field, and they filmed some incredible footage, of the helicopter chasing the UFO side by side, and they got some other incredible footage as well, some light ships, and saw things that there's no way, that they're conventional craft. They're definitely unidentified, and some of them are identified. So some of them are just good friends of ours having fun up there. It's really important to realize that this UFO enigma is not really that big of an enigma. The whole universe is filled with life, and we're connected to it, and it's our destiny to join the rest of the greater family of man in the universe, and we're heading in that direction. And despite those that would like to continue to cover this up, we're going there anyway. So a lot of these people that have been involved in the debunking and the cover-up and all the other nonsense are becoming far and few between. And now the great wave is on our side. It's on the people that really want to get to the truth and work with this higher consciousness energy. There's not too many of them left out there that anybody takes seriously anymore. So going back to that, we had debunkers trying to debunk the sightings here over in Australia when it went public over there. And one of the debunkers said, so is there a barn anywhere on the ranch? If there's a barn there, then that totally negates the activity. And so first of all, most ranches do have a barn. I mean, that's pretty logical. But unfortunately, we're not that logical. We don't have a barn here on the ranch, and there isn't a barn anywhere in sight. It's a pretty big ranch, and the next barn is quite a few, it's pretty far away. So that kind of shot down his theory right there. But he went on to say, well, if there's a barn there, I guess they're using some kind of lasers or launching some toys or something from the barn, So anyway, I wish I had toys like that, and I wish I had one I could step into and get off of this planet, but I don't. But anyway, some of the statements that were made are getting so ridiculous. People, I don't know if they've been following the same thing. Michael Horn and the Billy Meyer group jumped in on the debate there as well in Australia, and also just making some beyond ridiculous statements. They aren't even worth addressing because they're so ridiculous. He keeps saying there's no evidence whatsoever here, and they began by saying there was no UFO evidence here whatsoever, or UFOs coming here, and then they had to change their story after the evidence started appearing everywhere. It's been on in History Channel, all the other Discovery Channel. It's on all the DVDs. It's on the websites everywhere. So all of a sudden they had to change their story to, well, maybe there are UFOs there, but they're all military. And then when we take it to the next phase, well, and then they start seeing all the exotic craft and the light ships, and they see the craft coming in every color possible and every size and shape possible. That kind of kills that theory. And this last thing was, well, they're Nazis. And that's his last statement, is that we're dealing with the Nazis, you know. So, I mean, that's quite a stretch there, being that I'm not the one that speaks German, and I'm also not the one engaging in these Nazi tactics. So anyway, you can totally discount that one. And, you know, it's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. But despite, you know, the 70 hours of footage and photos and UFO investigators that have come up here and taken their own photos and video footage and, you know, several thousand witnesses, the Boeing engineers with triple PhDs and the Air Force base commanders and everybody else involved in this, and the long history of UFO activity in the area, they're still standing by that there's no UFOs. And, you know, this goes back even before we had black projects. I mean, it goes way back, you know, over 100 years of activity in the area. So, anyway, it's getting to be so ridiculous, I don't know how anybody can actually believe anymore that he's the only contactee and the only true prophet of God on the planet, or spirit form as they call it. And my only suggestion is, beware of exclusivity, because if somebody's saying that we're the one and only ones that can talk to UFOs and we're the only ones that can talk to God, you know, that's taking you away from your own personal God connection or spirit connection, creator, whatever name you want to give it, and it's also giving all your power away, because everybody can rise to the occasion and have a conversation with these beautiful, you know, spiritually and technologically advanced beings. They're just waiting for us to rise to the occasion, and many have. Another thing about the DNA line, too, the DNA is a prophet. That the DNA of concerning prophecy is a line that's being activated in many people right now, and people are having visions and dreams all over the world. There's a lot of people that came in with it fully acted, especially the new children coming in. So, I, you know, to me, it's just ludicrous to think that there's, you know, God would only have, again, one messenger, and there would only be one person on this planet that could see the future and totally discount all the other wonderful beings here on the earth that are, you know, assisting us in the awakening healing process. You know, so anyway, it's I'm just saying, common sense is God sense, and sometimes the obvious answer is the right answer, you know, concerning this nonsense. It's just getting old, and we don't even want to deal with it anymore. But it seems to keep cropping up, and people keep asking questions about it, so there's your answer. You know, trust your feelings, make your own personal connection with spirit, don't give your power away to everybody else, and yes, you too can talk to UFOs. It's just a matter of focusing on love and joy and bliss and becoming it, and send the message out to them, and, you know, let them know, you know, that ask them for their help, and let them know you want to experience the higher frequencies, and you want to experience healing, and you want to assist in the awakening healing of humanity and earth and turning this planet around. Just put that message out there and make that your focus, and guess what? Eventually they'll find you. So, and you'll be writing the next book, A Funny Thing Happened to Me on the Way to Creator. So, you know, some of these beings are ultra-dimensional beings, and they're very, very advanced beings. So it's just part of the process of enlightenment. You're going to connect with them. That's just the way it is. You know, there's quite a few other things going on. You know, the sightings are just everywhere right now. It's just unbelievable. Every time I turn up my email, and I'm just getting one after another after another after another, you know, reports, photos, front page news, all around, you know, the globe, except for in America. Go figure. And we are having mass sightings here in America as well, so they're just pretty much censored out of the press. But lately we are getting, you know, they are getting some news, and actually CNN has actually picked up a few of these sightings and broadcasted them. So there is hope, and we just need to put pressure, you know, on the news, and just say, look, we want to know the news. We want to know what's going on, not what you want to tell us is going on. And we'd really, really want just the facts of what people experience and what's happening. So the more people that do that, and the more alternative news sites that are coming up and popping up everywhere, pretty soon, you know, the mainstream's going to have to follow suit. It's just a matter of time. There's a few other things I wanted to talk about, too. One is the Earth changes. I'm just blown away that there's people that are channeling messages, and they're saying there are going to be no Earth changes, and that's just fear and doom and gloom, and anybody who talks about Earth changes is unenlightened, and they're spreading fear, and consciousness creates reality, so I don't believe it, so it's not going to happen. You know, and we're watching this whole thing, and regardless of the fact of who's behind the Earth changes, or if they're triggered by HAARP or whatever, they're in full effect. And, you know, the earthquakes are increasing exponentially. They've gone, you know, the natural disasters, earthquakes, everything have gone over 400% increase. And it's continuing to escalate. And every time you turn on the news, you hear about mass flooding, you know, rivers overflowing their banks, just crazy storms, you know, massive earthquakes. And then you hear about the volcanoes going off and whole cities being evacuated. You know, it's just one thing after another when you hear on the news. And you know, we've got to, you know, these cyclones and these other things that are hitting, you know, we have to just step back and just say, now, wait a second, you know, maybe this message isn't correct. Maybe there's a little denial in this message. Maybe the mind that this message is coming through is blocking the whole message, and that often happens in channeling. You know, when I was with the Tibetan Foundation, I was certified as one of their clearest channels, and that was a long, long time ago, and I actually left the channeling scenario because it got kind of polluted, you might say, and all, everybody and their mother was channeling somebody. But due to the near-death experience and the drowning I had an open door, and it was very easy for me to connect with these other beings. And back, you know, in the late 70s and early 80s, and we've written about it in the book, is they've talked about these times, and they talked about the severe weather, the expanding sun, the increased solar activity. They talked about the increase in earthquake and volcanic activity that was going to, you know, continue to increase exponentially. And, you know, they talked about the massive fires going on now and the severe weather, just about everything. And they say this is going to continue to escalate. And they say we are going to lose the grid, and we are going to go through a partial pole shift. And you know, whereas we do need to, you know, prepare, we also need to pray at the same time and get our inner guidance going and listen. If we are, you know, told to go here or go there, we need to do it with loving detachment. And, you know, you can't see these changes if you're in denial, or if you have a mental block and you can't observe them with detachment. You can't see these changes. Your mind will block them out, and they won't allow you to see them. So, anyway, you know, I'm not here to bash channeling or psychics or anything else, but I think it's important that everybody make their own personal connection with spirit and become your own channel and your own psychic. And although listen to some of the messages, it's very important to take it within and see if it's right for you and how it feels, you know, for you. Because you're going to hear a lot of it now. There's just a wave of consciousness and energy coming in, and like a great river, it's going to push up the mud, you know, and the debris, and eventually it'll clear up. And we're in the mud and the debris phase right now. There's massive waves of energy coming in. The last one we came through with the summer solstice before and after, it's still building right now, and it is pushing everything up. And it's pushing everything up that's been psychometrized in the earth. I mean, she's belching and moaning and creaking and doing everything she can to clean herself up. It's pushing everything up in her own physical bodies. Our bodies are going through all kinds of changes. You know, the mental and emotional bodies are sometimes lashing out and projecting and blaming you know, and some people are just so locked in their ego and their need to be right. And they've become so separate from everybody else that they've forgotten, you know, the path that they're on is totally out of alignment, you know, with what they know in their heart of hearts to be right and true. So we're coming into the age of setting boundaries, you know, the age of discernment. And, you know, like the one master prophet said, we'll call him Yeshua ben Joseph, no rock shall be left unturned. And we're definitely in that phase right now. So everything is coming up. Enjoy the ride. Own it. Bless it. Let it go. Release the past. You know, that's the only way out. If you continue to blame and project, you know, you're not evolving. You're not going anywhere. It's so funny, some of these things I've been seeing. One of the key things I keep seeing is exclusivity, is that the controllers or the power trippers or whatever, you know, they're playing these exclusive games, like, and they're also playing these other power trip games, the tyranny games that, you know, keeping everybody enslaved through dependency. You know, this is the only way, this is the only method, you know, you can get from here to there. This is the only method, you know, you can drive your cars, the only fuel, and, you know, it goes on and on and on. And even the religious institutions, everybody's jumping on this, and it's all being exalted and pushed up for us to look at. And the problem with that is there's many ways, because there's some wonderful alternative energy sources coming up. People are learning to run their cars on water, not just to keep the, you know, give them a 50% boost in mileage or 30 to 50%. They're also, you know, people out there that have taken it to the limit and they're running their cars 100% on water. And there are actually water cars being developed right now that are coming out, and magnetic motors. So it's just a matter of time that, you know, when the people become more educated and just, you know, they're tired of working for the oil companies and paying, you know, watching all their wages go down out the tailpipe. You know, it had to be pushed to the point where they're just going to say, okay, enough's enough, and we're not going there anymore. And I think that's where we're at. There's one thing I would like people to think about, is that the biggest oil consumer right now is our military, probably on the entire planet. But our own military is the biggest oil consumer. Now, if our military stopped using oil, we would have 60% more oil, and the oil would have to go way down. But, you know, the war industry and the oil industry and the pharmaceutical industry, those are the boys running things. So it's very important to think about that. You know, they have the technology. The military has the technology. They have the fuel-less energy technology. They have the water technology. Stanley Meyer gave them the water technology and was killed shortly after. They have the technology, and it's there. And so there is no fuel crisis. There never was. And there's no fuel shortage. There's just a shortage of courage and integrity that we're dealing with. And until we call our leadership on this and just say, look, you know, we're done playing your games. We put you in there to look after our highest and best good, not the big three. And until people wake up to that fact and just say enough's enough, it's going to continue. And, you know, I think that's where we're going to right now. We're in the phase of everybody's figuring it out, and who knows what the next phase will bring, but I'm hoping for an evolution versus a revolution, that we just make a quantum leap in evolution and just leave the past behind us, and the tyrants just wake up and smell the coffee and become healed and jump on the bandwagon in the awakening healing process, because a lot of them are going to find themselves in the void. You know, they're not going to be able to handle these new energies, and they're going to have trouble finding a place to go when they cross this plane, because these new energies are going to actually, hammer the frequencies of tyranny very hard. They're coming in very hard, very hot, very heavy. And, these guys, and, you know, along with everything being exposed, and so there's a mass acceleration of knowledge, of wisdom, and of karma as well. So it's time to release the past and start moving towards a brighter future and engage in the awakening healing process. You know, be supportive and invest in that versus the continued, you know, destruction and enslavement program, which ends up in, you know, civilization reset button, you know, being pushed. We've got open lines if anybody wants to call in tonight. We can answer your calls. It's 877-876-5227. And we also have 888-815-9756. And we have the direct line is 530-876-3222. So if anybody wants to call in and talk about what you're going through and maybe have some solutions or share some things with us, we're all ears here on As You Wish Talk Radio, because it is As You Wish. So feel free to call in and drop a nice gem of wisdom or share a sighting or talk about any of your experiences. Or, you know, if you need help with a situation, we can see if we can help you. You never know. You know, some other caller or myself might come up with a solution to your situation. But one of the things, the messages I get over and over, and it's going to sound really corny, but coming from these extremely advanced Pleiadians and Andromedans, and, you know, the solution basically all boils down to love. You know, that's the end result. So, oh, we got a caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, James. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
Who am I speaking with, and where are you calling from?
I'm Mike Bonney. I'm calling from Oswego, New York.
Oh, great.
I've called to talk to you a couple of times on the phone. But anyway, I got one question that I hope doesn't create too much controversy with your listeners here. But the picture you've got on your website has really thrown me for a loop of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that a physical manifestation of the actual Christ, or...
No, it's Jesus from South Africa. His name is
Jesus. Oh,
okay. Yeah, his name is Jesus.
I was willing to accept it as the actual physical manifestation. I believe anything's possible.
Yeah, I think I have to go back and look at that, but I told them to say Jesus of South Africa, the webmaster.
Oh, no, they don't. It just says James and Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was so cool, but hey, it's okay. Jesus.
Yeah,
and
he got a kick. My webmaster got a kick out of it, too, but he left the rest of the... rest of the picture in there.
Well, that's pretty neat.
But it is interesting. You know, the man was much like Jesus, and he was dematerializing. And
oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It was amazing. On the mound there, we have pictures of the guy just vanishing.
Oh, wow.
You know, so he was doing some pretty amazing things, and it happened with all of us on the mound. We were taking photographs, and that happens here at the ranch quite a bit. We moved just out of the standard frequency here that most people are used to, and you start you know, dematerializing, you might say, and it totally aligns with physics and everything else when you think about it. You just have to move a little bit out of this frequency to not be here.
Wow, that is exciting. I got one other question. I've spent so much time on the internet and looking at all the, you know, conspiracy theories and the 9/11 stuff, and I don't discount any of it, but I'm kind of really worn out of all the sadness and negativity and fear.
Yeah.
And I was considering putting up a website just really projecting the fact that we need to begin to see this thing as an outcome of being positive and try to steer away from all this constant focus on the negative. Do you agree with that, or...
You know, I do, and I, to me, it's like sometimes I'm seeing is that have to deal with it every once in a while. Like, we're just getting hammered right and left by just ridiculous stuff, and we just keep ignoring it, and it keeps building and building and building. And every once in a while, you just have to deal with it. But what I've seen is that when we do deal with it, we don't get into the emotions or attached or anything else. We just stick to the facts and address the issues and put it out there. And these people always end up assassinating their own character or basically end up taking themselves out. And all we have to do is, you know, stay focused on the higher frequencies and just stick to the facts. But I feel there's sometimes, you know, we do need to address some of these things going on, but it's basically how we address it, I think, is the most important part.
Well, and the other thing is, too, it just seems to me that if consciousness, and I don't know if you see consciousness as being a creative force or not, but they couldn't possibly come out on top of this thing if we're looking at it from the focal point of love and forgiveness and as you say, the higher good of everyone concerned. I don't see how possibly these dark energies could do anything but wreak havoc upon themselves.
But it's pretty much where they're going, and it's where they're headed, because you know, there's nothing that's not unseen or recorded in the soul, and these people have exalted themselves into the height of the ego, where it thinks it's totally indestructible and separate from everyone and everything, and it can do as it wishes. But you know, they can't run away from their karma and you know, the basic action reaction principle. And what's funny is that in their heart of hearts, these tyrants are really seeking love and acceptance and approval, and they're extremely wounded, and they're going about all the wrong ways of doing it. They're trying to force it and buy it, and you know, and doing it all through deception. You know, trying to build their self-esteem up, but or through material, you know, acquisition or whatever. And you know, they're really going nowhere. They just haven't figured it out yet.
Well, James, I appreciate the work you're doing, and thanks an awful lot. Have a good night.
Oh, thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Have a good evening. You know, that is interesting. I'm under the feeling that, and I had a long talk with Michal Ledwith about this, you know, and I just said, you know, we have to look at where we're at and what we have mastered, and not get into the spiritual ego and think that we're beyond or above that. You know, it is possible to dematerialize and run right through a wall and appear on the other side. It is possible. But if you can't do that on a regular basis and you take a run at a wall, you're probably going to slam right into the wall. And, you know, that's a good indicator. I don't suggest that process to test where you're at. But, you know, it is possible to do it. I'm not saying it's not possible, but until we can do it and we have mastered these techniques, we can't just claim them. Oh, well, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Can you state your name and where you're calling from?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, great.
Hope to be up there next Thursday for the conference.
Oh, good.
Yes, my wife and I are coming up and listening to you for a while and want to see things for ourselves.
You know, that's what it's all about, having your own experience and, you know, getting it on film or video, and then nobody can take that away from you, although they will try.
Yeah. Know a friend of yours, I believe, Jerry Wills?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, I studied with him for a couple of years, been to Peru with him and things.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so been into this for a while and looking to see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, I think I had him on my show, I'm pretty sure I did.
You know? Mm-hmm.
But a while back, it's hard to remember all of them. But, yeah, he's doing some great work.
Yeah, I was talking. We were going to come up last year, and he had been talking to you. He was down in Peru at the time and told me that when I talked to you, make sure that told him that knew him.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. You know, I'd love to get him up here.
What kind of weather's up there right now?
Boy, you know what? It's like 100. Really warm. We just went through a hot spell, but usually the good news is when we have three or four really hot days,
yeah,
that usually draws in the cooler air. So hopefully it'll cool down a little bit before the conference, and we put in,
yeah,
you know, a bunch of new fans, and we have a kind of a swamp cooler situation, so we can keep the heat down a bit.
Does the swamp cooler work real well up there with the humidity?
We don't have very much humidity, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty dry here. We're east of the Cascades, so it's much clearer and a lot drier.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have a nice big pond to jump in and a river down at the bottom of the road. You know, so so if people want to cool off, that's always available.
Yeah, we just got done with 11 days of over 110. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the people that are saying the sun's, you know, pretty much dormant, not much happening right now?
You can tell the temperature changed down here. I used to do roofing and things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was out in the sun all day long and never got a sunburn. Now I'm out for an hour or two, and I can feel it in my skin.
You know, it's different, isn't it? It feels like it's, like, going right through you. It's like
mm-hmm.
microwaving you right now. It's the sun has totally changed.
Yeah. It used to feel warm and comfortable. Now it feels more like it's going to the bone.
Yeah.
Cooking the meat like a microwave.
that's exactly what I was out in today, and I had my shirt off, and I was going, boy, this is nice, and I could just feel it going right through me, and I said, you know, I'm going to take about 20 minutes of this, and you know, that's about it, and sure enough, I still have a sunburn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's definitely something going on that's not normal with the sun. It's actually changed. Do you remember when the sun used to be kind of orange?
Yeah.
And now it's just bright white.
But this morning it was coming up, and I was standing out in the backyard, and it was red. It was a red that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And it definitely was different.
Yeah, it might be all the fires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what usually makes the red sun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fires, and, you know, plus the chemtrails aren't helping anything.
Yeah, we've got one that's burning a few miles below us here.
Do you?
And it started the other night with a strike of lightning, and it's 2,500 acres or something like that now.
Oh, wow.
And it's burning down towards the Indian Reservation.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Yeah, they're having fires everywhere. That my brother almost had to evacuate his house, and luckily it went the other way, and he lives in Santa Cruz, California. Now Central California seems to be on fire, and who knows where else.
Mm-hmm.
But quite a few fires popping up, and you know, it's definitely, you know, we're definitely in the changes right now.
Yeah, there's definitely things going on.
Are you having any sightings, any more sightings there in Arizona?
Nothing that I've heard of. I haven't. I've been keeping an eye on things and people I talk to and stuff, and nothing really anybody's seen.
Were you there for the Phoenix Lights?
Pardon me?
Were you there for the Phoenix Lights?
Yeah, but I didn't see them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and Frank Baranowski used to be on the radios down here, and he had quite a few. He had Jim Delatosa and I forget the name of the woman that was on the city council that wanted an investigation into it. And stuff.
Yes, something would.
He had her animal in class one night, and we were all talking about it, and they were showing videos and things.
Uh-huh.
Really very interesting, and I live on the southwest side of Phoenix, and there's no way that they were flares.
Oh, yeah.
Because I see the flares every once in a while. But there's somebody on this side of town that's been videotaping. They're supposed to be picking up an awful lot of UFO activity out towards the power plant, the nuclear power plant. And he picks up things, he says, once to twice a week.
Interesting. Oh, you have to have him contact us and send us some of that footage. We'll get him on the show.
Okay, yeah, he was on, I saw him on the news on Channel 10. They
uh-huh.
seem to do the most down here with things that aren't covered by everybody else.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how some stations are picking this up and they're letting it out, and the ratings are actually going through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the advertisers love that, so...
Yep.
So, you know, if these other mainstream media stations don't figure this out pretty quick, they might be out of business.
No, the people that work there have to get the guts and stand up to the people that are in charge and say, hey, look, you know, this is what they want, this is what sells.
Yeah.
Because after all, the main thing they're after is the dollar. They don't give a damn about anything else.
Pretty much. You know, I went on the air here, and they put it on the news, and it was on ABC. And the next thing you know, it went out on Fox News, and it just started taking off like crazy. And they did a wonderful interview here, and it was very supportive, and they dealt with the facts. And they killed it. You know, the upper management came down and just killed it. It only aired a few times. But it did air, and they came back to me, and they said their advertisers loved it because the ratings went through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And they know when the ratings go through the roof, there's more people watching their ads, and, you know, that's increased sales. And so they wanted to have me on again, but the guy that did the interview, he did such a great job, just vanished. Nobody can find him.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing is they want to keep everybody under control.
Yeah, I think they shift him.
To people about that, and they don't. They don't control me.
Yeah.
And then you start talking to them, and they realize that, yeah, they do. Then they don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
Because you showed them what you were saying was true, and you weren't quite as crazy as they thought you were.
Yeah, it's pretty normal for that. It's unbelievable. That's why some people come here and they feel such a, you know, this one guy was telling me, he goes, you know, this is a, you know, beautiful man sitting there and very, you know, very, very manly, you might say. But he was telling me, he goes, you know, I left this place and I started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't know why, but it really affected me and I didn't want to leave. And you know, he felt in his soul the energy here and how things can be, and you know, the way we should be living in harmony with each other and the planet. And
yeah.
And you know, he said, I just didn't want to leave. And I said, well, you know, go out and create the same thing.
My wife and I were down the Yucatan in 07 with a trip with Daniel Brinkley going to the ancient sites down there, and the energy down there was so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
As you got around the Mayan sites, the rest of the country was as normally, but when you got to the sites, the energy was just different.
Yeah, I haven't been down there yet. I do need to do a little traveling here pretty soon.
I've never was out of the country until I went with Jerry down to Peru and spent 18 days down there. And got to work with three different shamans.
Mm-hmm.
And just the energy and stuff, it's kind of like, I want to take my wife back down there. We haven't had an opportunity for that, but we went to the Yucatan. And, you know, she was born and raised in Phoenix here,
mm-hmm.
so she's never done much traveling. It's kind of like the energy change, the exhilaration that you feel of getting away from this country and the people in these other countries that are so honest in the small towns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really neat.
You know, I've seen that. I went to Sayulita down in Mexico, and it's a small little fishing village. And I noticed that, you know, in the main little area there, that the family would walk together and all the kids would be arm in arm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just amazing, the family unit and the love there. And they all kind of looked out after each other. And it is. It's just a total different mindset, and you don't feel this energy. It's like there's an oppressive energy or controlling energy, and I think it's probably hooked into all the cell phone towers and all the other nonsense going on and HARP and whatever, but you just don't feel it. It's not there.
And also the television programs they have up here shows the families divided. And I watched from when I was a little kid the commercials. My old man used to yell at them, and I think, you know, it's just a commercial. But the people start treating and imitating what they see on the television. And they treat their children that way now, and they treat the families that way.
Oh, yeah.
There's very few people that have an honest family anymore that care about one another. Everybody's divided.
Yeah, we had some problems here. We had a guy staying here, and he was just digging into everybody's personal stuff. And he tried to create a lot of separation within our family. But we have a very, very tight family. And like all families, you know, we have, you know, things here and there going on, but the love is there, and we always stay together, you
mm-hmm.
know, but we work things out now and then, and it actually turned around on them, you know, it's you know, and pretty much everybody just stood up and said, wait a minute, you know, it's time for you to heal yourself and quit, you know, meddling in everybody else's affair. So it's kind of nice to have a, you know, a tight family that does, you know, stick up for each other.
Yes. Yeah. I've rode motorcycles for years and had five or six bad accidents, and my wife and my kids and stuff, the way that they stuck by me and helped me through the things, it's amazing. I never had that from my family when I grew up.
Yeah.
And my wife and I have managed to create a family like that, which is really neat.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a group up here, and this one man, Javier, brought his whole family up here, and they took some amazing photographs. And, you know, it's a very solid family, very honest, really high integrity. And, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, you get a lot of the debunkers jump on the photographs and start sending you all kinds of things. And I totally stood up for him. I said, you know, I said, you know, if they are trying to set me up and these are fake, I said that they should get an Emmy, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, because this is one of the noblest, honest families you'll ever meet, and I can't see any way whatsoever that would be happening here. And it turned out it was just a problem with transferring it that created the image a little different. But when we got back to the original photos, it's the red craft on the website, and we got back to the original photos taken, you know, before they're transferred, they're very clear.
Oh. Well, I'll let somebody else have a chance to talk, James, and my name's Tim, and I'll see you next Thursday, hopefully.
Great. Looking forward to seeing you here.
Okay, you have a good evening.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye.
All righty, we've got a little more time for probably maybe one or two more callers, but, you know, it's been a great evening to hang out and express what's going on. You know, the energies, again, I've been talking about are coming in intense. We are definitely going through a major awakening healing process. Welcome to the show. Can you state your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Allie, and I'm calling from Washington State.
Hello, Allie. How you doing?
Hi, James. I'm just calling. I wanted to touch bases before the conference to let everybody know that I recommend that everybody brings their cameras. And just because you can't see the UFOs doesn't mean they're not there. So I'm hoping that we'll have a big group that comes out and take pictures during the day. And I'll be out there taking pictures also.
Great.
The whole time.
You know, that is one thing is that, I don't know, how many pictures did you take last time you were here?
I have a new camera, and it's an SLR. It's a digital SLR. And I probably took 6,000 photos during the day. And it's really nice because you have Wi-Fi, so I plugged in and I downloaded. And I just think it's really important that the more people that go out and take pictures and capture the same objects, I think the better case we have for, you know, showing people that these are real. These aren't just on one person's camera. They're on everybody's camera.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what's been happening here when people come up here, and that's how we got the photos. You know, a lot of the photos we got, as I said, okay, you know, everybody grab your camera, and we all came out there, and people just started shooting photographs, and they walked away with, you know, I haven't even gotten most of the photos yet, but they got some amazing photographs, and nobody saw the ships other than we did see the black helicopter and the ship chasing, you know.
Right.
Well,
and I hope that everybody who takes pictures and gets photos sends them to you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That we can then compare them. Because I have problems too. I work with a UFO investigator here in the Seattle area, and he has posted these pictures on his website, and that's Bill Puckett. And you know, I've sent them to other UFO investigators, and I don't even get a comment back, you know, so I just think everybody just needs to go there and see these for themselves.
Yeah, it is. People have no idea how much the disinformation and how much their resistance is to getting these photos out, and I've never seen, I don't even want to mention their name, but one group in particular seems to always have an attitude, and that's the attitude of trying to have the total credibility by debunking, you know, the obvious. And I always tell people, you know, sometimes the obvious answer is the answer,
right.
Rather than trying to make it into something else other than the obvious. And it is very obvious there's metallic discs hovering over the trees and flying around the mountain. And you know, a classic one, this is a good one for you to remember, is that, you know, the picture of the Huey. Have you seen it, the helicopter one?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, did you see the blades on the helicopter are frozen? They're totally, the 12 megapixels stopped the blades, right? And so those blades are moving fast. Yet the UFO was a little fuzzy because it was moving faster than the rotation of the blades of the helicopter. And, you know, and then if you take a picture of a bird between you and the helicopter, that bird is clear. Especially with a 12 megapixel, it's not a bird flying over or a bug, because we've tested that, and you know, you can see. I was out taking pictures of birds and bugs and everything else, and you could see beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were birds and bugs. You know?
Right, right, and you know, I think it's also the quality of your camera helps.
Yes.
In terms of clarity.
Oh, definitely.
I also, you know, I'm coming next week, and I'm going to bring examples of birds and bugs, so that people can see them.
Oh, good.
To kind of differentiate between, this is a bird, this is a bug, and this is not a bird or a bug.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, I just wanted to say I'm excited about next week, and I'll see you guys all next week. So thank you so much, James.
Oh, thanks for calling in, and I'll see you next week.
Okay.
All right, take care. That's Allie. She's going to be one of our speakers, and we're going to have some amazing things happen. She's going to show a lot of the photographs that she's been taking here and show the difference between what's what, and should get real interesting. But anyway, I have a very discerning mind, and if something's kind of in the ambiguous section, I leave it there and until it proves itself. But it's pretty clear now. The light spheres and the orbs and the UFOs are undeniably here, and just about anybody can photograph them. And again, it's all about your own experience. It looks like we're running out of time. I can't thank everybody for calling in enough, and thanks for listening. And the next broadcast will be live from East Eddy at the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference, and we'll be interviewing a lot of the speakers and a lot of the guests. They can tell you about the incredibly awesome time that they're having here. It happens every year. So anyway, tune in next Saturday, 8 p.m., and we'll be talking to you then, again, live from East Eddy. Have a great evening, and watch the skies, and carry your camera around with you, because they're showing up everywhere. Have a good evening. Good night.